passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world one ohm at a time. And so, here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we like to challenge everything and everyone, so we welcome you to today's challenge. As always, if you would like to be part of the conversation, if you'd like to be part of the dialogue, then come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, MyDrKevin. You will see a posting about today's guest. Leave a comment. I will get it. I'll be checking them on breaks. And your comment and your question, we will get it on air. Remember, it's easy to sit back and complain. It's easy to sit back and do nothing. It's easy to just sit back. But if you're not thrilled with the way the world is, if this is not the world you want to leave to your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, in the Native American, they say, when you should make every decision based on how it's going to affect the next seven generations. Today, we see a world oftentimes where people don't make decisions with even any idea of the consequences in the next 7 minutes, let alone seven generations. So here's your opportunity to speak out, to ask questions, to participate, to be part of the process, because that is how we change the world, to be part of the process. So as always, I start this, the Dr. Kevin Show, with my hot topic. My hot topic may make me feel warm and fuzzy. It has the last couple of weeks. Or it may be something that gets me hot under the collar. And then we bring in my guest and see what they think about today's hot topic. So today's hot topic has to do with the amount of fraud that's going on these days. Calls from people that say, hey, if you don't automatically call us back, the IRS is going to seize everything at this number. The email that promises you wealth and riches, that takes advantage, and especially takes advantage of the elderly. Having two elderly parents myself, I oftentimes have to tell them, no, you don't have to worry about that. No, that's just somebody trying to take advantage of you because you're not real computer savvy. Now, I'm not going to pretend to be able to say to you that I know how much is actually going on in fraud, but I do know that is not enough. There needs to be, you know, we need to spend some time and energy and go after these people that take advantage of the elderly, that take advantage of people who are desperate, that would say or do almost anything to try to save their house or put food on the table. And they believe those emails. They believe those phone calls. We need to have a line that people can call and say, this is the number that I was called and here it is. And we need to have people working undercover to say, hey, what is it you wanted me to do? Where did you want me to do? Yeah, I'm so-and-so. You called me. You left this message. You know, we have lots of money going lots of places in the government today. We have lots of money going lots of places in law enforcement today. But it seems like we get stuck in the minutia sometimes. Sometimes we get stuck in the little stuff. Sometimes we get, you know, just trying to sort out the crap that we're fed on a daily basis by the media. But, you know, it's an all-time high people being taken advantage of. And with today's technology, with today's government, with today's abilities to track things and look at things, I think we need to put a little bit more time and energy. You know, I feel very blessed that my parents never got, have yet to get really scammed. There's been a few people that have tried. And I have been able to, and my sister has been able to say, yeah, don't answer that email, don't answer those questions, don't. And they're getting a little bit more savvy. But when you have people out there preying on people in their 80s, people who are at the end of their life savings oftentimes and just trying to get by, who, it's a big, you know, if you say, hey, the IRS, they think it's going to be the IRS, because who would say that? So I know you've got those phone calls. I've got those phone calls. I'd like to see loading put into bigotry and hate put towards different things that are going on to just make headlines, to just confuse the issues. You know, you can always tell a good politician by how many issues can they confuse in the same statement and not answer the question. What I want to hear is, what are you doing to help our senior citizens with all of this fraud? What are you doing with all the email fraud? And, you know, I've brought this question up before to people that feel like they have answers, and they say, oh, well, there's just so much of it, we can't possibly track it down. Yeah, you know what? If you think you can track down a few million illegal aliens so you can, you know, toss them back over the fence and leave their jobs undone or their families heartbroken, I think you could take a few million emails and check, you know, and chase down a few scam artists. Shut down a few sites, because guess what? They seem to always be some kind of domains that if they're committing fraud, they shouldn't be allowed to function. So that's my hot topic for the night. I don't believe we have our guest on the line yet. I'm not sure. Oh, my guest is there. Hello, and how are you? Good.
Marvelous. Thank you. Thank you. This is going to be so much fun. I've been looking forward to this all month.
Oh, good. Good. Well, we're certainly glad to have you. So what do you think of my hot topic? What do you think? Should we be more actively trying to protect our seniors and other people who are being scammed through these emails and these calls? What can we do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? My mother gets a lot of the letters, and they look so official. And she gets scared. You know, and it's, you know, she wants to reply and she wants to go take care of, but, you know, some of this stuff. So I don't know that I have the solution, but I do think, believe that the more that we report, you know, let us help you, you know, let us, the children, you know, if there's the government puts a program together, you know, I think that we all as children or neighbors or friends, we can tell you, you know, this is the information that's coming into our household. Give us a place where we can send them to so that let us help you. You know what I mean? Let us help you. If you don't have the manpower, let us help you. You know, I'm sure that every single one of your listeners will know somebody that's either received a phone call or has gotten something in the mail.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole thing is, instead of laying people off from the government, you know, let's create a task force where people can still get paid and bring money in to these scam artists who get their assets seized, who, you know, are done, who have committed fraud. I mean, some of those monies, obviously the monies should be getting returned, but that won't always happen. But there's, you know, there's a way to make money off of this for the government. And there's certainly a way to help the American people. Go ahead.
I think you just solved it, right? We're creating a win-win. You know, it's not just because like my mother, I'm using my mother as an example. You know, she was terrified because she thought that, you know, there was going to be penalties involved, that they were going to take her pension away. You know, she was afraid and she wanted to answer these letters. Another friend of mine, she is 96 years old, and she keeps getting letters from, you know, the American Cancer Society and other, which I don't think they were the real thing, asking for money. They were like, send us $5,000. I don't think that the American Cancer Society would actually say, send us $5,000, right? So this letter is definitely a fraud. And, you know, a couple of times she did send $500, $1,500 to, you know, she felt that it was a donation. And she's a wealthy woman, so it was not that big of an issue. But I don't think she thought she was giving back.
Yep. And it really is, it's really sad, the number of people. I mean, there are huge numbers of people that do get scared, that can't afford it, or do get hacked, or end up getting caught by identity theft. And then it's a nightmare. And you take somebody like your mother's age, I mean, my mother and stepfather are in their 80s. They get confused very easy these days. I mean, you know, they don't have Alzheimer's, they don't have dementia, they just have age. You know, they're just, and they start talking real fast, and, you know, and I've actually told them, you know, every time they go to a store, some salesman at a store sells them something, I'm like, with technology, without calling me, or am I seeing you everything, and then you get home and you don't remember nothing, and then none of it works, and you're just out money that you can't afford to be losing, you know. But technically, the salesperson at Best Buy or Staples technically are not doing anything wrong. They're not doing anything illegal, but this is illegal. And I'd like to see some more energy. So I'm going to introduce today's guest. Interesting, I should pick a topic that involves money. I wonder how that happened. we're going to introduce today's guest. We'll probably be... Now, I want to make sure. Chella, am I pronouncing...
Yes.
Am I
Yes, Chella? Winner, winner.
And you have to know, Chella and I have sat across the table and we've worked and we've talked, but I think it's been a couple of years since I've seen you, and I'm thinking it's Chella, but it's like, knowing me, I've been known to pronounce Mary wrong before.
No, it is definitely.
Chella is a mom, a radio show host, author, speaker, and consultant. She doesn't believe it does not matter how much money. Oh, and here is a thing. I will finish your introduction when we're back. I'm hearing the sound of the music.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. Deborah Livingston is an award-winning intuitive psychic medium whose international services include mediumship, spiritual assessment, animal communication, and spiritual mentoring. She is a published author and a trained shaman. Deborah provides evidential messages from spirit and departed loved ones. Learn more at devlivmedium.com. That's D-E-B-L-I-V medium.com.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. How would you like to meet an endangered manatee? You can by joining Save the Manatee Club's Adopt the Manatee program. You can't take them home, but you can get to know your new manatee friend through the photo, biography, and information the club sends to you. And you can read updates on your manatee in the club newsletter. More importantly, your contribution goes to programs that are working to save manatees from extinction. It's easy to help. Call 1-800-432-JOIN.
Hello, and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone here on Ohm Times Radio, where we're changing the world one ohm at a time. Tonight's guest is Chela Diaz, and as I started to say before, Chela is a mom, radio show host, author, speaker, and consultant. She believes it does not matter how much money you make. What counts is how much you keep. Chela's fascination with money, with how the wealthy handle their money, began at an early age of 9. And by the age of 17, she purchased her first car and her first house at the age of 23. Chela, you still with us?
I am, and I'm excited. This is going to be so much fun.
So, and you can find out more about Chela at moneyiq901.com. Did I get that correct?
Absolutely. So far, 100%.
Oh, good. So, Chela, my first question for my guest is always, where do you want to take my listeners outside the box? Where do you want to stretch their comfort zones? It could be about money.
Stretch.
It could be about anything.
Yeah. I definitely would like to challenge the money, and that is if every single one of your listeners started thinking about how they are the boss and the money is their employee. So just by making that shift, and it will be easy. It won't be simple. You know, where are you going to take your money? How are you going to manage your money? You know, are you going to go out to dinner every night? Are you going to put some away for the older version of yourself? You know, are you going to give some away? How are you choosing to spend your money? And I can feel, you know, like I said, I can feel it's not going to be easy to do it. But if you just start, plant the seed and start doing that, I think you'll be surprised and amazed.
Well, it's funny because, you know, my policy is to, like, not spend money by going out to dinner every night. My policy is to go out to dinner money. I mean, does that work?
Yeah, I'm talking about the person where they had a rough day and they feel that they deserve to go out and treat themselves to something, whether it's a cocktail, it's a glass of wine, whatever that may be, but they don't have any money, so they end up charging it, right? So they're spending money that they don't have at this point.
So you want to challenge my listeners to think outside the box and think of themselves like a boss, and that money is their employee. Did I get that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, when you're looking at money as your employee, and I agree, I think that people are really not very much in a reality of how much they're spending until it's not there. I mean, it kind of slips through the fingers, and then suddenly a justifiable expense comes in up, and now they have to use a credit card because the car has to get fixed, or, you know, the window has to get repaired that got broken, but they have nothing liquid because they let the liquid money is like pouring water in your hands and it drips out. So
exactly.
How do you recommend that they treat this employee? What should they do with this employee?
So what if that's a perfect example, right? It's perfect example. Like, you need new tires, you need to register your car, your insurance premium just, you know, showed up, all those things that you know are coming. What if every payday or every month or every, you put something away towards that? So you're, and you forget about it. You know, you put for your auto expenses, for your utilities, whatever that may be, so that when they show up, the money's already there. And it's a constant revolving door. You go out, you know, you fix your tires, you fix the car, you do whatever, but because you're prepared, you're not getting caught off guard, and you're saving money because you're not putting that in a credit card. And when you put things on a credit card, you're making, think about it, when you do that, you're making the credit card company rich.
There's an interesting exercise that I sometimes will give my clients, which is all I want them to do for 3 months is to keep track separately of what their interest that they're paying on that on all their credit cards. What are they paying in interest? And add it all up. What are you paying in interest? And then after 3 months, look at that number and tell me what you could have done with that money if you had not paid it. Whether you paid it off or it just grew and more interest grew. But a lot of times people don't even look at that line.
That's brilliant. I'm going to borrow that.
As long as you give me credit. No.
I totally. As a matter of fact, in a couple of hours, I'm going to go teach a class. And this is going to be for single moms. And that's brilliant, because then you're going to see how much money it could be in your account. And better yet, what could you do with that money?
Now, I hear, and I'm sure that you do, I don't even have enough money. I don't make enough money. I don't make enough money. I don't make enough money. What do you tell that person that you're trying to help when they say, I don't make enough money?
I say, take my four-week challenge. And my four-week challenge is to keep track of any time you spend over a dollar, you write it down. No judgment, you simply write it down, you put it in on a piece of paper. At the end of the week, you divide them into two columns. How much money did you spend on wants? How much money did you spend on needs? At the end of 4 weeks, right? That's it. That's simple, right? But at the end of the 4 weeks, you are going to know. And every single person, my best story that I can tell you is when I did a workshop for some retired ladies, right? They're on fixed income, and they're like, oh, no, we don't waste money. No, we are limited income. I said, you know, that's – so they did. They did my four-week challenge. I came back. I wish you could have seen their face. Every single one of these ladies found that they were spending $25 to $30 per weekend going to the yard sales. For somebody that's on a fixed income, so if my retired ladies who are on fixed income can save $50 to $60 a week, a month, anybody can do it. I've yet to see somebody that has not been able to save simply by doing my four-week challenge, because then it tells you, you're going to see, where is your money actually going? How many times are you going to Starbucks? How many times are you going out to lunch? You know, how many times are you stopping for snacks?
Well, and the interest, and, you know, the interest, well, there's two. One is, if you talk to those little old ladies again that love the yard sale, here's what I'm going to recommend you do. I'm going to recommend that you tell them that once every couple of months they have a yard sale, sell all the stuff that they didn't need anyways, and whatever they make on the yard sale, they can go reinvest in another yard sale. There. Keep them happy. What do you think?
That's awesome. And actually, they found out that what they found out by doing my 4-week challenge is that they were buying stuff. I know this is going to be a shock for some of you. They were buying stuff that they really did not need.
Yeah, absolutely. And, absolutely.
Yeah. So I said, yeah. So what they started doing is they simply did not even bring the wall. They still went out. They still went out, but only twice a month did they go to purchase, and the other two times they went looking. You know, they went looking. And but I love that idea because we all have stuff that we can, you know, have a yard sale with.
Well, it's, you know, one of the things that makes me think about it is I've got a very close friend of mine, and she is the yard sale queen. And whenever she gets bored with her condo, she'll go to yard sales and she'll buy couches and chairs and this and that. But what she does is she sells her stuff, and sometimes she sells what she bought at a yard sale for more than she paid for it. And it's a little like, it's a little competition for her. I spent $50. I bought that chair for $50. I loved it. I had it for 6 months. I sold it for $60 and then bought myself a new one that I could love. I'm like, brilliant.
That is brilliant.
Hey, you know,
because oh my God, that's awesome.
The yard sale is clearly entertainment for these ladies. And they're on retired income and they get together, and it may be as much about getting together and having a cup of coffee and going to the yard sale and hanging out and doing this stuff. So how do we get their entertainment paid for?
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Have you been searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. Here on Om Time Radio, we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. Today we have Chela Diaz. She has, with over 20 years in banking and financing industry, Chela witnessed the struggle and misinformation many people had regarding basic understanding of money management. It is now her passion to help equip people with skills around money to help them have a more empowered life. You can find out more about Chela Diaz at MoneyIQ901.com. Chela, you still there?
I am. Oh, this
is fun.
Good, I always
get a check. So, Chela, this is our next segment, and I'm going to hold my question. I was going to ask you at the end of somewhere, I'm sure. But in this segment, it's called Behind the Curtain. Now, it always starts because you've not been on my show before, so you have to answer the quiz question. You ready?
Ready.
Okay, so here's the quiz question. What movie did this come from? Ignore the man behind the curtain.
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz. That's the moment where Toto pulls the curtain back and Dorothy and her friends realize that the great and powerful Oz is just a shyster from Kansas who blew off track. There's a lot of people out there that would like us to believe something is true. That would like to tell us that they are great. Great and powerful, and would like. Car balloon and fill it with a lot of hot air. So what truth would you like to share with our listeners today? That's the truth of a situation. Chela, she will call back in. Chela?
I'm here.
Chela.
Dr. Kevin, okay. I'm here.
Yep.
I'm here. Okay. I would. One of my favorites is the biggest, I believe, misinformation out there is so, that you have to have a lot of money in order to save. A truth that is that it does not. You don't need a lot of money in order to save. You can start with $2 a week, and it truly will start adding up. You know, you don't need. You know, to start with a $2,500, you know, $5 a week, $5 a month is going to make a huge difference in your life. So start small.
So you think that a lot of people, and of course, we are constantly bombarded by the whole, spend money. You need this. You need this to be loved. You need this to be popular. You need this to save your marriage. You need this to be a good parent. You need this to be a good friend. You need this to be a good child. You know, so we're constantly being convinced or tried to be convinced that we need to be spending money all the time. So you're saying start small, put something Chela, are you
correct.
There?
I am here. And you know, I believe, I'm totally correct, because I believe, you know, one of the things that truly frustrates me is people that pay $30, $50 a month to watch their credit. And this is a month. This is $30 a month people are paying to some company so that they can keep an eye on your credit score.
Okay.
I say take the $30. I just saved you $30 a month because those services and those credit scores are available to you for free. You don't have to pay a company to get that done.
So here's the question I was going to ask you before, and this is the perfect segue for it, which is I've observed that people spend money they don't have as a way to deal with stress. What do you think about that? You think that
absolutely
happens?
Yeah, totally. And I think it's a perfect fit, right? Because, and one of the things that I talk about is that, you know, if we're able to really dig a little bit and find out why, when do you spend money? Do you spend money when you're depressed? Do you spend money when you're happy? What's the behind the scenes? What's the behind the curtain? And if we're able to deal with that, then you're no longer subject to that.
Well, I think that there's the three-headed dog that guards hell, that a lot of people are motivated unawarely to overspend money. And that three-headed dog, I think his name was Cerebus. I can't remember, but he guarded hell, the three-headed dog. And it is, stress is one of the heads. One is self-worth and one is self-esteem. And so I don't feel very good about myself right now, or there's a lot going on in my world, so I'm going to treat myself to a really nice blah, knowing that you can't pay the bill when the bill arrives for blah. So what do you think of my three-headed dog?
I love it, and I'm going to borrow that one, too. Because that's it. That's it. If we're able to work with one of these, whatever that may look like, then we're no longer subject to it. Now, let me just be totally transparent. And I deal with this, and I'm a work in progress. My area of weakness is anything that's on sale or personal development courses. And so this year, I took a challenge not to spend any money on personal development courses. And so far, I'm very delighted to say 7 months down, and I have not spent money on personal development courses.
Good for you.
Now, I can't say the same about sales, because they'll still get me from time to time. You know, but you're right. If we're able to find out which one of these three monsters is getting to us, then we won't be subject to it.
Well, you know, one of the things about, and I'm going to talk about personal development for a second, because I teach spiritual development and personal development, and I help people move forward in my private practice. But one of the problems is that there are a lot of people that are involved in that field that are simply just not ethical. They have you spend money that you don't have and make you promises that they don't keep. And because I can give you the most beautiful tool set in the world to build a better life, but if you don't get rid of the resistances and you don't develop the skill sets, then you got a beautiful set of very expensive tools sitting on your shelf collecting dust, besides the 10 other pairs of those tools that you bought from 10 other people that just sell you caffeine and hype. What do you think?
Absolutely. Exactly. right? So I'm being more cautious and more careful. And, you know, I'm surrounding myself with people that help me and uplift me.
I have a standard thing with my clients, which is my job is to see how quickly I can throw you out of the nest. It doesn't mean you can't come back and visit. Doesn't mean, I mean, I've had clients for over 25 years that every few years, if something happens, they may do two or three or four sessions to put it in order. The rest of the time, they're out there living life, making a difference, making for a better life. They're out there doing it. And I think that for a lot of people, it can be very addictive to get the hype without making any change, because the change is the hard work.
Correct. That's beautiful. Because you have to do the work, you know, and keeping track of how you spend your money and start having the conversation of, one of the ways that I found is the easiest way to find whether people are dealing with stress, self-worth, or self-esteem is by asking them, what was the conversation they remember adults having when they were children around money? And I find that that conversation really opens up, you know, it opens up that door for them to start realizing that maybe they were carrying that conversation without really realizing that they were carrying the conversation.
Yep. And I think there's a lot of things, and I think there's a lot of things that we do to children, which just... because I work with a lot of kids, and I've worked with kids, not just the ADD and ADHD kids, but I've worked with children and families for years, even before I was doing the ADD stuff. And anytime, you know those big, heavy-duty staplers that they use in construction? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yep. Well, let me tell you, every time I hear a parent say, do you know how much you cost me? I want to take their lips and just staple them shut. And we have our music coming up, and we'll be back for our last segment with Chela Diaz.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Hi, this is Carly Simon for Lifebeat, the music industry fights AIDS. The AIDS crisis isn't over. There have been amazing scientific breakthroughs, but people are still dying, and your local AIDS organization needs your help more now than ever. Volunteer and make a difference.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we're challenging everything and everyone. Here on OM Times Radio, where we're changing the world one OM at a time. We have business and financial expert Chela Diaz on. You can find out more about Chela at moneyiq901.com. Chela's inspiration and motivation for her work these days is to empower people with the correct information about money, how to work with money, how to save money, and how to not let money or the lack of ruin your life. Chella, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm going to borrow that too. You know, because people don't realize that when you're, oh, this is a testimony from one of my clients. After she paid off her credit card debt, she found out that she was more social and she had less stress in her life because she didn't have to worry about how is she going to pay those bills. And I think people don't realize how much stress they have in their life simply by carrying balance on their credit cards.
Oh, yeah, it definitely can. And I'm going to follow up on our closing comment, and then I'm going to turn it over because this is a segment that's called What a Load of Crap. And you get to share whatever you think is a load of crap going on in the world. But just as we went to air, I talked about stapling parents' mouths shut when they say to a child, do you know how much you cost me? The other thing I want to put out there, and I'd like to get your feedback, because I'm sure that you've run across this as well, is if you are talking to your child in any way, shape, or form, during or after a divorce, about how much the alimony is, how much the child support is, how much whatever is going on between you and your ex, you are a horrible parent, period. Because you will negatively impact that child's self-worth, self-esteem, and relationship with money for a large part, if not all of their life. What do you think?
Absolutely, and I have a little bit of experience with that. I did get divorced when my kids were 14 and 17. Thank goodness we didn't have to go through the alimony, but I don't think, I totally agree with you, and I'm sometimes naive, and so I believe that there's times where parents speak out of frustration, and they just don't realize how much that's going to impact the child. You know, you're just doing it. So I would say think, you know, I mean, think before, especially in front of the children, you know, just think before you say anything, you know, where it's about money or about the former spouse or whatever the case may be, because you don't know where that story is going to land for that child.
Yep. I mean, you can be honest with the child and you want to be honest with the child about money. You can do it. Much damage on the other side by letting a child think that, you know, anything and everything they should get, or you try to do it and drive yourself into debt. I've talked to parents before, single parents or even a family, why are you in so much, you know, like money is an issue. So, well, where did that money go? Well, do you know how expensive clothes and sneakers and stuff like this are? And they'll name some phenomenal amount of money. And I'm like, really? To clothe one kid? Really? You need to teach your child to be responsible through saying, this is how much money we have, and this is what we need to get, and include them in the conversation as soon as they're old enough. I'm not saying shelter your child from money, but never make them responsible for your relationship with money, especially if you have a bad relationship with money.
Right. One of my favorite things is to, again, you know, once they're age appropriate, is to take your child to the grocery store. Start with having them become knowledgeable of how much things cost. It's not a blame, you know, you simply go. So one of the things I used to do is the kids used to plan a meal. So we used to go to the grocery store. They would tell me what items they needed to prepare the meal. And it was right, because then they got to see, well, you know, it costs, you know, $20 to put a meal together. At that time, they really didn't realize what they were doing. But as they got older, you know, it hit. Plus, also, it was such a joy for them to prepare the meal for the family. So in my opinion, you're accomplishing a lot more than just money, right? They're getting an idea of how much things cost. And I also used to give them a budget, you know, we're going to go back to school shopping. This is how much you have to spend. And then they would determine what clothes they wanted to buy. This is your money. You can do with whatever you want. And then just that, giving them the power and the ability where they chose which clothes they wanted to pay. They just have to stay within their budget.
Absolutely. But, you know, we talked about this last week on the show. I had a woman who was a clinical social worker that worked with families for like 45 years. And we talked a lot about kids and families. In your kids' money sense and a sense of responsibility and a sense of how to do in the world, unfortunately, not high up on the list of a lot of parents. I don't think that they, I don't know why, but I see 20-somethings that have no concept of money. How did that happen?
Well, yeah, you're right, right? We get none of that at home. We think that we're doing a good thing by not teaching them. And I'm not saying, you know, talk really about the alimony, that kind of a deal, but showing them, you know, how much is rent? You know, how much is your car insurance? Teach them the practical things so that they can start to get an idea, you know, and think kids are thinking that out of, they get out of college, they're going to start making the $200,000, you know, to keep up with their lifestyle. Well, I got to tell you, that's not going to happen, unfortunately.
Nope.
So they're not being realistic of how much is really cost to, you know, to have an apartment and to pay the bills and to go out and do all those things. So I think definitely we need to have a big shift, and I believe that it starts at home. And it can start small, you know. Have them prepare a meal, depending, or, you know, have them go grocery shopping with them. It is going to take a little bit of time, and they are going to ask you a lot of questions, but at least you get the conversation started.
And, you know, when you're helping your kids with their homework and they're doing their math homework, say, okay, so I'm going to teach you some stuff, and we're going to use actual figures. So this is our food budget. This is our why do we have to use abstracts? Why can't we use real-life situations that allow people to understand and allow kids to understand that there's action and consequences, that, you know, you have to earn money to spend money, that everything costs something. Their computer is not free. Their electricity to run their computer is not free. That, you know, there's so much loss out there of understanding how the real world works. And frankly, I think it's because there's a lot of guilt parenting. I feel guilty because I'm a single parent, or because we both have to work and our kids are going to daycare or they're doing something and somebody else is parenting our children. So then I feel bad. And then what I end up doing is sitting at the table crying at the credit card bills that I can't pay because I couldn't say no, because I felt bad.
Yep. Absolutely. Another way to teach your kids about math is, and again, I believe in doing two things at one time, is teaching them how to cook and how to bake. Because you can teach them about measurements as you're baking, and then they're able to create, you know, whether it's the muffins or the cookies or the scones or whatever that may be, right? So they're having fun while they're learning.
Yeah. You know, I have done some curriculum work about better ways to teach, especially my ADD kids. And part of it is baking and gardening and budgeting and things that register with them as important because they're real life. And it doesn't have to be an ADD kid. It can be any child, because so often everything's given to them in such an abstract, they don't know how to apply it in their life. And then when they go to live life, they don't have the skills because it was all abstract. So I love it. I love it. I think you're great. I think gardening and baking and budgeting and all of those things are things that we have to get back to if we want our children to be more capable as adults.
I am so curious. Thought. I'm curious. How will I use gardening?
How would you use gardening? You can teach science through gardening. You can teach math through gardening.
Oh.
Through gardening. You teach a number of different subjects.
Okay.
You know, you have to plant the plants so far apart. If you really learn how to do non-pesticide, organic gardening, then you also learn how to mix and match different crops. Also some calculations of how much land, how much nutrition do you need, blah, blah, blah. So it depends on how old the child is and how much is involved.
I love it.
Also sit, yep. So closing thoughts. Oh, and there we go.
Dr. Kevin.
Yes. MoneyIQ901.com. Thanks.